you would join with me in the prayers of confession. The Apostle Paul has said, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Therefore, let us turn our hearts to God and confess the sin of our flesh in the hope that we might again be filled with the Spirit's peace. In love, God handed down laws to Moses, the people, so that they might live together and with God in harmony. Yet as fleshy human beings, we fail to submit to God's law. We set our minds on obtaining the things of the world. Our desires push us to purchase too many of these at too great a price. In our pursuits, we drain the goodness of the earth, the air, and the sea. We push and stumble over others in our rush to acquire our wants, ignore their pain. Fearing condemnation, we cry out, O God, O God.
Have mercy.
Well, hello. This morning we are going to hear from Paul. We've been dabbling in Paul this summer, and chapter 8 is probably one of the greatest bits of writing in the entire compendium of Scripture. So we'll probably be focusing on it for the next couple of weeks. Let us listen now with our full hearts, our minds, and our souls to what God speaks to us through Paul's pen in his letter to the Roman Church. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is so set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, if you have lived more than a few years, You've probably done something that has resulted in harm to another person. Now, you don't need to be a kidnapper or a murderer to harm others. Maybe when you were a kid, you stole a few leaves of lettuce from a neighbor's garden on the way home from elementary school. Hey, you were hungry. It looked fresh and good. Still, you took those tender green leaves off of someone else's table. Perhaps in high school, you borrowed the family car to drive all over town on your own instead of going to church. There were no accidents or tickets, but you racked up miles on mom's car and you didn't tell her about the trip. Maybe you miscalculated your tax return items one year to your advantage. And when I lived up north, the town treasurer of Put-in Bay got caught embezzling town funds, the trust that she violated. Well, if not exactly condemnable, these are all blameworthy acts. But then, too, there are the errors we commit by omitting to do as we had planned. Perhaps you've heard someone say, "I really meant to write that get well card to Doris, but I forgot. I felt so guilty, I prayed that God would help me to remember to take a casserole over, and then I forgot to do that too." Or maybe you just stood by while another person yelled, "Call 911, as they began CPR. Now, this isn't quite up there with tax evasion, but you've let down a person in need as well as God. That's not doing unto others as we'd hope others would do unto us, is it? None of these people truly honored God with their full selves or loved their neighbors as themselves. We have all sinned by what we've done and what we have left undone. And yet, how is it that Paul begins this passage? "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Pretty bold words. Kind of make you want to just sit and think about them and be with them for a good long while. Anyone who is in Christ is not condemned by God. Not now. But okay, does that mean that if we are in Christ, we're free to go and do things that hurt others like there's no tomorrow? We all know better than that. So how then does this non-condemnation thing actually work? Paul says it's because, and I quote from the New Revised Standard Version, which is what I read this morning, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." That clears it up, yeah? Actually, we really need to break that sentence apart. Last week, I mentioned how the Hebrew people sinned against God. Remember, they created worship and worshiped idols during their wilderness journey, right? And when he'd seen what they had done, Moses actually threw down those two stone tablets of law that God had given them, the law that was to help them honor God and live without killing one another. And when God heard about this, God decided to wipe all the idol worshipers out of the book of life. They'd broken law number one. Do not worship any other God before me. God just wanted the best for this people, and here they had turned from the good life to death. The complete separation, excuse me, from God forever. Now, certainly there is value in such a law. God wanted them to always receive God's blessing, God's companionship, God's compassion. But that law is very demanding. And it stipulates that if you do not comply, you will die. So sin equals death. So what then is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? For that matter, what is it to be in Christ? How can we be in another being? We can't. A friend of mine over in Granville, Karen Shakoyan, another Presbyterian pastor, she invites us to think of it this way. She says, let's say you wanted to be the best singer in the world. You wanted to be, forgive me, Andrea Bocelli. So you take lessons and you practice, practice, practice. And you become very, very good. But no matter how hard you practice, you just cannot sing like Andrea Bocelli. You sing like you. The only way you can sing like Bocelli is to be Bocelli. No matter how hard we try, we cannot be Christ Jesus. However, if we follow the pattern of life he laid out for us, if we practice the law of love that he set down for us, then in a very real sense, Christ is living in us and we are in him. We become part of the kingdom, that relationship community that is God. Jesus even spoke the one law that he asks us to follow. Love the Lord God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love others as much as you love yourself. And not one, not the other, both. And yet, following the letter of that law is an impossible task. There is nothing that any of us can do that will enable us to achieve the perfection of Christ. We're still stuck in sin and death. And you know, that's pretty darn frustrating. But when we have faith in Jesus, that is in God, something impossible happens for us. In faith, God draws us into a power far greater than any on earth, and we become part of something far more powerful than ourselves. As Paul put it, God does something with the law that changes things, even with all the good that the law as we knew it could derive cannot do. You see, God sent his own son in human form to understand our weaknesses. That's what he came for, to understand our weaknesses. And then, in the ultimate act of love, Jesus laid down his earthly life so God could condemn the sins and guilt that we carry throughout our lives. Christ has entered our lives so the justice demanded by God's law could be fulfilled. And that impossible, mystical act redirects our lives from death to eternal life. In a way, it's like the change that happens to an alcoholic who feels all but dead, unable to control his addiction on his own. The first step away from sure death is when the addict, be it a man or a woman, admits that she is powerless over this thing, that she needs help. The second step is to reach out to a power that is greater than his own. Hopefully God, but maybe simply a higher power. Still, it's power beyond themselves. Only then can she let go of the control she's tried to maintain on her life. Let go of the lies that she won't drink again and that she doesn't have a problem. Only then can God's power begin to work. Most often through other people and the acts of love that they offer. The freedom that that person feels, so I'm told, is that this terrible burden's been lifted from his shoulders and becomes an incredible moment of hope. And with that hope, and in the power of God's Holy Spirit, the addict can seek to rebuild her life. Now, that does not mean that she won't fall in her efforts from time to time. And the same is true for each and every one of us. Try though we might, we're going to fall down again and again and again. But we still pick ourselves back up. We still try to trust in God, even if we don't have some kind of mountaintop experience. It is oh so easy to want what we want, to set our minds on fleshy desires, be they lettuce leaves or a drive around town or an extra large tax refund, or even allowing ourselves the luxury of not tending to a friend's need. It's easy to commit acts that will harm others or to admit actions that will help them. Honor God, love one another as ourselves. Oftentimes we hardly love ourselves. We are incapable of following God's law to its full extent, of being perfect. But that is what it is to be human. Now, earlier this morning, we spoke words confessing who we are in God's sight. Now, I ask you, more water out and back. And as you leave, I invite you to drop your paper into the water where it will disintegrate, where a mystical reaction will take place, and it will ascend to God just as a prayer. So take a moment. My friends, we are surely not Christ. But when we are in Christ, when we seek to live as fully as we possibly can under his law of love, we do not have to walk through life alone. For we have been drawn into his Spirit. And there God receives our confessions, forgives our shortcomings, our failings, our forgetfulness, our hurtful ways. And there, like papers that disintegrate into water, that mystical reaction will take place. God will free us from the painful chains of sin. And amazingly, God no longer judges us as lost. God no longer plans disaster for those who seek to follow Jesus' law of love, for that map of his law has shown us the way from sin's death to love's freedom. May we follow it all the days of our lives. And now, hear the good news of whose we are. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the Spirit of God who raised Jesus now dwells in you to give you life. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God.
Please rise as you are able and join me as we say what we believe. We share one faith, have one calling, and are one soul in one. have one God and Father, are filled with one Spirit, are baptized with one baptism, eat of one bread and drink of one cup, confess one name, are obedient to one Lord, work for one cause, and share one hope. Together we come to know the height and the breadth and the depth of the love of Christ, are built up to the statue of Christ, to the new humanity, know and bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ, that we need one another, upbuild one another, admonishing and comforting one another, that we suffer with one another for the sake of righteousness. Together we pray, together we serve God in this world. Amen. You may be seated.
Can you hear me? Oh, good. Technical things can be a blessing and a bane. I did mention earlier that I was really glad to see Dave Perkey here. That means that Martha's doing better, and we can hear from him later. I'm also really glad to see Merle Taylor here, because he's doing better. You all have been placing your offerings in the little white church, or you've been mailing them in or dropping them by. And I know you're doing this because you believe in the work of the church, that we support people who are serving, like Chenoa Stock, and that we reach out in love to people in this community through the fellowship of Christ Community, FCC, I never get that one right, but also Christ Table and other places, Eastside Ministry, all benefit from the love that you share through your offerings. Thank you. Thank you for continuing to give in this crazy, weird time. Let us pray together the words that dedicate our gifts as we presented them before God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your saving word of truth, which you have planted within us.
May we not merely hear your word, but do it, knowing that you love us and have given your Son for us. May we give ourselves for you. Lord Jesus, wherever we look, from next door to a world away, we see the places where your creation groans. So now, Holy Spirit, make our lives and these gifts a faithful response to those cries. Amen. Amen. Let us continue in an attitude of prayer as we lift our hearts to God. Listen now and pray with me, please. O Lord God, we give you thanks for all your gifts to us, for daily food, for health, for each breath we take, for freedom to choose, and for the gifts of your word, your power, and your love. Our hearts are truly overwhelmed. O God, when we consider how you have entrusted so much to us, we burst with joy. May we be worthy of that trust. May we be a people who are unafraid to live as fully and as richly as you want us to live. Help us, O God, as followers of Jesus, to multiply all that you have given us, to risk spreading your word and perhaps see it misunderstood, to gamble by loving those whom others think worthy only of hate, to take chances by doing good to those who have not done good to us. Help us be faith-filled and desire to increase your glory and your goodness in this world. Make us people who share in both word and deed that which you have given to us. We pray for the church gathered today, both here and around the world, that it may encourage all of its members to discover, develop, and use all of their gifts, those of nature and those of grace. We especially lift up to you those who have been called to serve as chaplains in hospital and nursing home settings, who give their gifts not to congregations as we know them, but to people in particular need in a particular time and place. Oh Lord, they carry heavy burdens, particularly now when ordinary pastors, ordinary friends cannot visit with their loved ones in hospital or nursing home. So give them strength and courage, and give them your spirit of love and compassion so that they might be your servants, true and whole. We also pray today in joy for God's new child, Lydia Cantor Loy, who is gifted to parents Jennifer and Alan Loy, as well as her grandparents, Larry and Becky Welch. May she bring joy to this family her entire life and be blessed by your love forever. We lift up those who are poor in body or in spirit, and for those who are oppressed and heavy laden, for those who are sick or in despair. We especially lift up Nancy Thompson, who is still recovering from her stroke that she suffered on the 4th of July. We pray for Martha Perkey, who is doing better, thanks be to you, in Riverside. We pray for Merle, for Bob, for John, and for Dwayne, who are recovering. We also pray for Pastor Jim from the North Salem Community Church in Guernsey County, who is fighting his battle with COVID-19.
Minister by your Holy Spirit and by us to all those for whom we have prayed. Help us to walk faithfully in the path of our Lord Jesus Christ. May our daily scattering of the gospel help spread your justice, your kindness, your mercy all over your beloved world. We make our prayer in the name of our Savior, in whom we exist, Christ Jesus, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And amen. We all sin. Whether it's taking leaves of lettuce out of a neighbor's garden or standing idly by as someone else administers CPR, sometimes our crimes against God are worse. But remember, friends, Paul has written, because we are in Christ, now there is no condemnation. For we have been forgiven. I ask you each to live into Christ's law of love. Love one another as you love yourself and love God forever and always. And remember that as forgiven children of God, the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that draws us together in the Spirit as God's kingdom go with you all. Each and every day. Amen and amen.